There's a book that's come across my desk called Dance Until It Rains, Life's Lessons from My Mother. The author is Andrew Jobling. Andrew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine. How did you come to write this? Did you just suddenly have some moments or period of time with your mum that was outstanding to you?
Yeah, there was definitely a defining moment. My mum contracted or was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1988. And she finally, when she passed away, was the end of 2004. So it was 17 years down the track. And for a vast majority of the time, I guess I did what a lot of people do. I just buried my head very firmly in the sand and just pretended that it would all go away and she'd be right and all that sort of stuff. And I never really for any moment accepted what, I guess, the journey she was on and the path and potentially where it could lead her. Really...
So you're in, what, year 10?
No, I was thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I was teaching year 10.
Teaching year 10, and you got a phone call from your dad.
I got a phone call from my dad, which rarely happened. You know, and I knew if dad called, it's going to be serious news. And he's a very matter-of-fact sort of person. He said, Andrew, I just want to let you know that your mum's been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I don't know. You know, how do you react? You don't know how to react. You don't predict what you're going to feel or what's going to happen. But all I know is that I watched her. You know, I think one of the important things about the book and the lessons is I just watched her. And it really was, you know, the most defining moments was probably 2 months before she died. And we were up in Queensland together. And it was at that point where I decided to write the book. And this is in 2004, where before she died, I actually had the idea to do this. And I said to her, I said, Mum, I'm going to write a book. Because you're an inspiring person, and I think there's a lot of lessons. And she looked at me and she said, with total genuineness, she said, "Why? What? Who would be interested in my story?" And so for the next couple of days, I learnt more about my mum in 2 days than I'd learnt over the previous.
So she agreed to sit down and talk to you about her life.
She did. Well, she didn't have much choice. I told her to. I said, Mum, sit down and start talking. And I didn't realise how painful that was going to be for both of us because she had to go back through a pass and dig up a lot of stuff, which was pretty painful.
Including coming to Australia and with nothing.
She was born in Hungary in 1935. Her mum was Jewish. And even though her mum converted to Catholicism to marry my grandfather, obviously there was still, you know, that risk. And with Second World War approaching and Hitler and all and Nazism sort of heading towards Hungary, they thought the best thing to do was to get out of there as quickly as they possibly could. And that in itself, you know, a pretty traumatic beginning to life, which started to shape and the way her parents communicated to her started to shape her self-belief and things she felt about herself.
Did you learn a whole lot of things that you didn't know in that couple of days?
About my mum?
Yeah.
Totally. A lot. Incredible amount.
These are conversations that people would wish that they've had, but not many people have them.
Well, one of the things about my mum that has always inspired me was her ability to, and looking back and after that, she went through some, and I know anyone going through cancer goes through this, but it's tough. You know, the fear and the pain and the overcoming the emotional stuff. You know, she had to overcome a lot of stuff, and I had no idea because she protected her kids from the reality that which really was her day-to-day struggle to survive. And I just looked at her at the end of that couple of days in Queensland. I just looked at this person who had always been my mum, you know, the person that puts clothes on your back and food in your belly and a roof over your head.
And is someone nothing can go wrong to.
Exactly. And I all of a sudden saw her as vulnerable and I saw her as a person, you know, someone that, like all of us, we want to be loved and we want to be around and we want to be cared for and we want to be successful and happy and, you know, that was threatened by cancer and incredible attitude was, I don't care what I've got to do. I don't care how scary it's going to be or how much pain I'm going to go through. I'm not letting this thing beat me because I want to be around for my family.
As you said, she lasted a long time with having had breast cancer. Was a lot of that time comfortable for her or did it change her forever because she was scared that it was going to come back?
It changed her forever, no doubt about it. The diagnosis of breast cancer was the first hit, but she never really took ownership of it. You know, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. She had the cancer removed. She went through the standard treatment and she just went back to normal life. She didn't change a lot. And it was 18 months later. That's when things really started to happen, because then it was diagnosed as secondary cancer in her liver. And it's at that point, when she was given, you know, less than 5 years to live, that she decided, no, I'm not going to accept that. And the changes she made, incredible, like, turned her whole life around. Yeah,
I'd love to put it out there to listeners. Have you had these sort of conversations with parents or with loved ones, and come away with, first of all, knowing a lot more? There's someone who's a regular on this program has just done this with her dad and discovered, after talking to him for hours, of certain things that he had never discussed, things about being in the war and all that sort of thing, and is uplifted by having had the conversation. I wonder how many people do it.
And one of the things, my goal with this book is to inspire people to realize that everyone has a story. Now, my mum's not exceptional, and, you know, everyone's got people that they love, and how many thousands and thousands of people go through cancer. Everyone's got a story, and everyone has the ability to inspire other people by attitudes and decisions that they make. And all I want really this book for people to see is that she's just an ordinary person but had an extraordinary desire to change her circumstances, which we all have. We all have it. And I just think if we could dig in, let's not wait until we're confronted with a life-threatening disease. Now's the time we can take some responsibility for where our life is heading, and relationships, and a whole range of things, and change the course of where we're heading.
You've got various quotes from different people, like from Norman Lear: life is made up of small pleasures, happiness is made up of those tiny successes, the big ones come too infrequently, and if you don't collect all these tiny successes, the big ones don't really mean anything. Are these your favourites, or were these ones your mum liked?
No, these were my favourites. I went through and I wanted to find quotes that I thought genuinely and accurately and profoundly reflected the message I was trying to get in that particular chapter. And that quote is so, so, so profound when you think about it. And it is that my mum's, whilst cancer, diagnosis of cancer might seem to be a big event, it's actually the accumulation of decisions that we make over a long period of time. It's habits that we've formed. And so whilst it comes out and shows itself as cancer, the cancer started a long, 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 long time ago with, whether it's nutritional habits or exercise habits, or whether it's emotional habits, self-esteem, anxiety, stress, all that sort of stuff, every day leads us to a point.
It's called Dance Until It Rains. Andrew Jobling, thank you for coming in. It's a great book.
Thank you, James.
It's a great book. And
thank you for letting me
share. What a lovely thing to have, and to you know, as a memory of your mum. And
thanks,
of course,
Dennis.
You've gone on to that other, the next important role in a man's life is when he becomes a husband and father.
Exactly right. And I've been very much inspired by my mum to be the best I can be.
Dance Until It Rains, or go online to andrewjobling.com.au.